It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Support for Creative Control Daily is brought to you by Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-belt grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. You know I'm not alone in this. I think any man listening to this has had an incident where they're trying to do a little trim action, and maybe the clippers slip or the razor slips. Next thing you know, you have something resembling a wound in your crotch area, and that's not what you want. That's the last thing you want. That's why Manscaped has redesigned the electric trimmer. The Manscaped engineering team spent 18 months perfecting the greatest ball hair trimmer ever created and just released the new and improved Lawnmower 3.0. Their third generation trimmer features a cutting edge ceramic blade to prevent manscaping accidents. Millions of balls are about to be nick-free thanks to Manscaped's advanced skin-safe technology. Manscaping accidents are finally a thing of the past. And when I tell you this is premium, I mean premium. The battery will last up to 90 minutes so you can take a longer shave. One of the coolest features is the LED light, which illuminates grooming areas for a closer and more precise trimming. They've also upgraded to a 7,000 RPM motor with quiet stroke technology. And let's not forget about the charging stand. Show your mower off loud and proud because this intelligently designed stand is a convenient charging dock powered by USB. So if you're listening to me speak right now, I want you to experience this firsthand for yourself. Trim that junk of yours. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code CCD at manscaped.com. Your balls will thank you. Once again, you can get 20% off and free shipping with the code CCD at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com by using the code CCD.
I really went downhill after the World Trade Center. You know, Quasimodo predicted all this.
Who did what?
All these problems, the Middle East, the end of the world.
Nostradamus. Quasimodo's the hunchback of Notre Dame.
Oh, right. Nostradamus.
Nostradamus and Notre Dame. It's two different things completely.
It's interesting, though, to be so similar, isn't it? Then I always thought, okay, hunchback of Notre Dame. You also got your quarterback and your halfback in Notre Dame.
When's a fucking cathedral?
Obviously, I know. I'm just saying. It's interesting, the coincidence. What? You gonna tell me you never pondered that? The back thing with Notre Dame?
No.
Pleasure to welcome to Creative Control Daily. You would know him from The Sopranos, Blue Bloods, among many other things. Steven Chirippa. Steve, how are you, my friend?
Good, buddy. How are you? How's it going?
Real good, real good. It's, like I said, it's a pleasure to have you on. I'm one of those really hardcore Sopranos fans, I have no problem just putting on a random episode and under any conditions I can watch the show, right? And Bobby Bacala and Junior's scenes are a personal favorite. Every time those guys are on the screen together, you know, you light up, and it's some of the most enjoyable moments from the show.
Yeah. That was when I first started on the show. That I was with Dominic, you know, Chianese, who played Junior most of the time for the first couple seasons, which was great.
Yeah.
I love Dominic to death. He's a terrific guy, terrific actor. And matter of fact, the scene that I auditioned for was that scene, not the first time you see Bobby, but the first episode where he's in the doctor's office.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And Junior tells him that corny joke about cataracts. And that's the scene that I actually auditioned for, which is funny.
A Chinaman goes to see the eye doctor. After the exam, the doctor says, "I know why you're having trouble." Chinaman says, "Why?" Doctor says, "You have a cataract." The Chinaman says, "No, I have a Rinkin Continental." "You don't get it?"
"I get it. He drives a Lincoln." "What?"
But and then, you know, Bobby moved on as the years. He always watched out for Junior, but as the years went on, Junior was a grumpy son of a bitch. He was a great character, had the best lines always, you know?
Oh, yeah. Now, I did my research here, of course, and looked up a little bit of your history, and I'm curious. As I looked, of course, I found that you were the entertainment director at the Riviera in Las Vegas, which led to you having an extra role in the movie Casino. Was that just due to your connections in the area and someone said, "Hey, take a walk down there and maybe you can get in the movie"?
No. I actually got my SAG card. I actually have two lines. If you put your thing in slow motion and turn up the volume, you can hear me in the scene with the guy when Pesci stabs the guy with the pen.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I'm in that scene. You could see me a little bit. I auditioned for Scorsese and for De Niro for a different role, small role, but a different role. And then they gave me this one. And it was just, you know, Frank Vincent, I think Pesci, me, De Niro, the guy Joe, I forget his last name. He passed away. He was the one that got stabbed. Mm. And that's it. We were there for 16 hours shooting that scene on the west side of Las Vegas in the old casino, the Moulin Rouge.
Yeah.
It was an old casino, black casino, one of the few in Vegas on the west side of town that had been there for years, and it was kind of abandoned, kind of, and we shot there in the bar. There was a casting director who helped me get started. Mm-hmm. In Vegas called Ray Favaro, and he would cast when things came into town, and he was on this one. And they did Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas. I got a role on that. Chicago Hope. You know, there was if something would come to town, he would, you know, make his calls, and somehow I wound up on his list, you know.
It was funny, years later after I, you know, knew your face and everything, of course, from The Sopranos initially, I was rewatching Joe Dirt. And
yeah.
So I'm like, oh, Bobby Bacala, there he is. I didn't know, you know, and then I saw you in that scene or whatever. So that was one of the early things you did as well.
Yeah, that was early. I think that was right after The Sopranos, yeah. The first season, I would say. I've known David Spade forever. He used to work for me as a comic in the club.
Right.
David Spade, Schneider, Rob Schneider, all of them used to work for me. And I got a call one day from the writer, Fred Wolf. Mm-hmm. Who was a head writer at Saturday Night Live, and he called me and asked if I would do it, which I was happy to. It was a lot of fun. And I just did another thing for Fred. I think it's Love 40, it's called.
Oh.
Me and Colin Quinn did a little, you know, a little bit thing for him, you know.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
If you're like most of us, you carry a balance on your credit cards. And if those cards come with high interest rates, you need my friends at LightStream. It's so easy to lower your interest rate and save with a LightStream credit card consolidation loan. You can get a rate as low as 5.95% APR with AutoPay. LightStream believes that people with good credit deserve a better loan experience, and that's exactly what they deliver. You can get a loan from $5,000 all the way up to $100,000. And there are absolutely no fees. You can even get your money as soon as the day you apply. You can trust me on this. LightStream works. It's fast. It's uncomplicated. You go to the site, you apply, and they take it from there. For me personally, I'd gone a little nuts a couple of Christmases ago as far as credit cards, and my balances were nearly maxed out. But I found LightStream, applied for the credit card consolidation loan. Within 24 hours, the check was in the mail, and I was able to zero out all those balances and get my credit score back where I wanted it to be. Trust me, if I can do it, you can do it. It's got to be simple, right? So apply today to get a special interest rate discount and save even more. The only way to get this discount is to go to LightStream.com/creative. LightStream.com/creative. Subject to credit approval. Rate includes 0.50% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit LightStream.com/creative for more information. Were you a Sopranos viewer during that first season on HBO?
You know, not really. I wasn't, to be honest with you. You know, I don't watch all that much TV.
Yeah.
I also, when I got the role on Blue Bloods, I had never really saw that show.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not that big a TV guy. And when I am, it's, you know, Knicks or Yankees. You know, I've got a very eclectic taste. So I had seen the show. Not all of them. I did, when I had the audition, go back and watch. I don't know about all of them, but watched a bunch of them so I knew what the hell I was doing and what the show was about.
Yeah.
So, yeah, when I first read, I did. I wasn't that familiar, you know?
At what point through your run, because, of course, you were there until the end, did you have an indication early on that the character was going to become so important? Because, as you mentioned, he was, you know, Junior's handler and stuff in a lot of scenes with Junior. But by the end, you know, the character Bobby Bacala was way up there in the organization with Tony, you know, pretty much as, you know, second or third in command there. When you started the role, did you have any indication that, you know, it was going to become so important?
No, absolutely not. No. I mean, they hired me one episode at a time.
Huh.
I was here for a wedding. I was here in New York City for a wedding. I was living in Las Vegas. Came in for a wedding. A guy that was helping me. I didn't even have a full-time agent. He was just kind of helping me, a friend who was a real agent. And he, I said, see if you can get me to read for something on that show. Maybe I could grab a couple lines. Because up until that point, that's basically was what I was doing, two lines here, three lines there, you know. I did a King of Queens. I did some stuff,
yeah.
But it was like that kind of stuff. And so when I read for the role and then when I got it, they just paid me scale and they didn't fly me and they wouldn't put me up. So I joke, but it's the truth. It cost me about $24,000, and I made about $22,000.
Right.
I had to fly myself out, put myself up. I was staying in hotels. I was finding my way to the set. Luckily, I had money. I had a good job in Las Vegas. I wasn't a struggling actor, or I could have never. I would have never been able to do it. I stayed with some friends, but I stayed in hotels and had to pay my own way. And it was just one at a time. So sometimes I would go back and then I would get a call. 2 days later, I had to go back again. Or sometimes I would get stuck here in New York for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So it was weird. Yeah. I had no idea whatsoever. After the first season ended, I did six episodes after my first season, which was season two.
Right.
I did six episodes and I got a job on a pilot with Nick Turturro. And I test for that in L.A., and I was going to take that job. It was a lot more money, and I was a series regular. It was a sitcom for the WB. Remember the WB?
Yes.
Which is now, I guess, the CW. Yeah. And I was going to take that job, and my agent, smart enough, called and said he's about to take this job. And they called and made me an offer, which was crappy. And we went round and round for a little while, and finally, they moved my family back to New York City.
Mm. Wow. Yeah. And I mean,
I took a shot. You know.
Yeah.
I look back at it now, and I was like 40, 41 years old, and two kids. I had a big house in Las Vegas on an acre of land. Great job. I took a huge pay cut to believe it or not, at the beginning, a huge pay cut to be on The Sopranos. From what I was making. And I came here and took a gamble on myself. I don't know if I would do it today, but yeah. I did it then. My wife backed me the whole way. We had two young kids who were living a great life. And, I mean, here I am, really very green, not knowing what the hell I'm doing. And I'm going to take a chance on being an actor. So,
yeah.
Luckily, it worked out.
That's what I was going to say. I mean, you bet on yourself, right? And that's the smartest bet you could make, you know. You know, I could ask you a million questions, of course. I know your time is limited, but as I was going through and thinking about different scenes and stuff, I realized that Bobby was the only one to ever get the upper hand on Tony in a physical situation. You guys had that really, intense fight scene at the beginning of season 6 up at the cabin. What are your memories of filming that scene? And did you realize that Bobby was the only one to ever kind of take Tony down?
You know, I don't think I did at the time, That was the first episode of The Last 9. Mm-hmm. I remember we rehearsed that, and we never had rehearsal. I remember I got a call, and maybe a week before, we went in there, the four of us, myself, Edie Falco, Aida Totoro and Jim, and we sat around a table and kind of had a rehearsal and talked about the Monopoly scenes and stuff, all the scenes. But we were upstate. It was July of 2006, if I'm not mistaken. We were upstate, and it was just the four of us and the crew. And when it came time to do the fight scene, we were all ready to go, and Jim said, he came, he had a knee brace on, one or two knee braces maybe, I forget. And he said, I don't think I'm going to be able to do this. He said, I got operated on one knee or two knees, and it's not going to come out well. So they put a pin in that. We didn't do the scene. 6 months later, they built that lake house, which was the real lake house owned by Roy Scheidner from Jaws.
Right.
Him and his wife had that. They got divorced. The wife got it in the divorce and would rent it out. And we rented that lake house out. And they rebuilt that lake house on the set in Long Island City, Silver Cup. It was amazing. It was very eerie. It was in January of 2007. And it was almost like you're in the Twilight Zone. I mean, it looked exactly like the inside of the house. Exactly.
Yeah.
And so we did the fight scene there. It took a day and a half. We rehearsed it. It's almost, I'd say, 98% us. It's choreographed.
Yeah.
It doesn't look it, but it is. There was a time where Jim zigged, I zagged. I headbutted him in the nose, and he went down. He went down like a ton of bricks, and he broke the cartilage in his nose. Mm. And we took a break for an hour or two, and he got right back, and we finished. And then I think he went to the hospital afterwards. And the next day, we finished the scene. We were very sore. You know, it was a real fight. It was like two fat guys, two fat, sweaty guys. That's like a real fight, you know?
Yeah.
It wasn't one of these staged Steven Seagal bullshit fights, you know?
Yeah.
So, I think that's why I look real, and we were good friends, so we went as far as we could, pulling hair. He was choking me, and we were a little banged up after that.
Okay. Doubles. Oh, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Boardwalk high on it.
You blue guys under it. I roll again. Okay. Second prize in the beauty contest. Collect $10. Go ahead. Make your stupid joke.
I got nothing to say.
I think I'll buy a railroad.
A German shepherd shaved asshole won first prize.
Oh! What about my wife?
You married her.
This is my home. No more talking like that.
It's okay, Bob.
Stay out of this. You're Sopranos. You go too far.
All right, you know, Jan, he's right. I'm sorry. I crossed the line. I apologize. Won't happen again.
Ah, fuck! Income tax.
Under the boardwalk, with his schlong and change my house. Under the.
Other than that, what were some of your favorite scenes that you had with James?
I like those. Well, I liked all that lake house stuff on the boat. Mm-hmm. And then there's one that they never made it, but I saw it somewhere where we lit firecrackers under Janice's hat.
Yeah. You know what? I just saw that. It's a deleted scene.
That's funny,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
they cut that out.
Right.
And, you know, that lake house stuff, there was a scene in the Pine Barrens where me and him are in the car. Mm-hmm. And it's in the truck, and I'm talking about Junior, and I tell that joke, Bear left,
yeah.
Well, that was in the studio, and they were rocking that car to make it look like we were driving.
Yeah.
But we were really in the studio in the SUV. You know, I always liked working with Jim. It was a lot of fun. There was one scene with Robert Loggia and Dominic where we made Chicken Cacciatore. Mm-hmm. And we ate Chicken Cacciatore for 7 hours, me and him. We were eating chicken and rice from 7 o'clock to 2 p.m. Then there's the Quasimodo scene.
Yeah.
We were eating the steaks, you know, and always a good time, always fun. And if we had time, if we didn't get out too late, we always went out afterwards, you know, always. The crew, the cast always went out after work if we got out early enough. Even if we got out at 1 a.m, we would still catch a few hours, you know.
You know, what's interesting, thinking about that same episode, actually, and I know that you and Michael Imperioli have started the Talking Sopranos podcast, and it's on YouTube as well, and I'm a listener, and so I know that you guys are going to get to some of this stuff, and I don't want you to have to, you know, spoil it now, but when it comes to the final episode of The Sopranos and everyone has their theories and ideas, Bobby Bacala is a big part of that because you're on the boat with Tony there, or out on the lake, rather, saying, well, you probably don't even hear it when it happens, and a lot of people point to that scene because they replay it in the before the final episode and say, well, maybe Tony was shot or whatever. That's what they're hinting at. But another big, big part of the show's DNA is that scene with Bobby there where he kind of hints at maybe what's to come.
I mean, yeah, our line of work, it's always out there. You probably don't even hear it when it happens, right?
There's your friend in there on the wall.
Listen to us, morbid fucks.
You know, I hear you,
yeah,
but in my opinion, I think Tony Soprano's alive and well and living in New Jersey. So I hear what you're saying about you never hear it happen when it happens.
Right.
And it may very well, that's what David meant. David's going to come on the podcast.
Oh, great.
And I'm going to ask him myself and try to get the best answer I can. But in my opinion, nothing happened in that scene. It was just the four of them back together having, you know, dinner or lunch. They were together. AJ was doing better. They were together as a family. They were getting along, happy to see each other. The guy just got up and went to the bathroom. He meant nothing. Mm. He didn't kill Tony. That's my opinion.
Wow, that's...
I'm not saying I'm right. I'm just saying that's what I think.
Well, there's like two or three camps of theories, of course. There's Tony was killed, Tony wasn't killed, and the scene was meant to establish the paranoia he's going to have to live with. Or the third theory is kind of like the audience was whacked, you know, that kind of. So that's where a lot of the hardcore fans go. One of those camps,
I don't think so. I don't think it had nothing to do with.
Yeah.
It had nothing to do. The audience said they were cheated. They were this. They were that. It had nothing to do with that. It was. It also wasn't a setup to do a movie. That's another
right
myth. And all the different endings. That's another myth. People were coming out of the woodwork. I didn't buy into that. You know, I think some of the girls from the Bada Bing were saying blah, blah, blah. I read the script. I saw what was going to happen. I knew it still surprised the crap out of me when I saw it.
Yeah.
We watched it together, the nine of us down in Florida. We had food. We opened up champagne. And that's what I think. I mean, I could be wrong, but that's what I think.
It's interesting that you say you don't think there would have been a movie, or it wasn't to leave an opening for a movie, because David Chase for years, of course, said, you know, that world's closed. And then The Many Saints in Newark is going to come out next year. Now, it's been delayed due to all this, you know, coronavirus stuff and everything. But there's going to be a prequel. And, he found another story to tell in that world. But so you don't think if James hadn't passed away that they never would have delved back into that world together?
No, I think possibly if Jim didn't pass away,
yeah.
I think as time moved on, you know, the show ended in 2007.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Jim had gotten away from it and away from that character. And I think he was kind of at peace with it finally.
Yeah.
He was doing some other movies. He was doing some other stuff. He had a baby daughter. He was living in L.A. I think if time, you know, enough time would have passed, I think maybe, you know, if there was enough money and a good story to tell, I think he would have dove back into it.
Mm.
I do think that. I don't think when it ended, anyone had any intention of ever doing that.
Right.
That's not why the ending was left that way. Oh, okay, it leaves the door open to redo it. Now, David had a story about, you know, that world in 1967.
Yeah.
None of the cast is in it. It's more about Tony Soprano's father and Chris's father and that world and the Newark riots. So it's a Soprano movie for sure and tells the story of their parents. But I think you see some characters when they're, you know, younger, a young Silvio, a young Tony, a young Paulie, from what I understand, stuff like that. I don't think there is, you know, it's two different things. I don't think it's a Soprano movie per se, you know?
Yeah, and I think they're going to...
And I think it's going to be great, by the way. I mean,
I
can't imagine it's not. So I'm sure it's going to be... I'm looking forward to seeing it.
I'm sure that they've taken enough care with the script and everything, and there's enough Easter eggs in there for the more hardcore fans like myself. Like, I'd be hoping to see, Bobby Bacala's dad as a younger man show up, too, because he was such a great one-episode character. But
yeah,
still, like,
I don't know if he's in there. I don't know. But they're all recast. It's a young Livia... A young Johnny Boy, I forget what Chris's father's name was, Baltasanti, you know. So it's a great cast and a different cast, and I'm sure it's going to be fantastic. I mean, it's too late now for us to do a prequel. I mean, you know, we're all old.
Yeah.
You know, if maybe just a few years went, you maybe could have did a prequel, you know, right before the show started, but so much time has gone by, you know.
Coming out of that Sopranos DNA, you know, Terrence Winter went on to do Boardwalk Empire and even did Wolf of Wall Street, and Matthew Weiner went on to do Mad Men, so a lot of great shows even came out of that world and some of the writers on it. Did you have a particular favorite writer when you'd see his name on the script, like, oh, this is going to be, you know, this is going to be good, it's a Matthew Weiner script, or anything like that? Any favorites?
You know, not really, because I really think they were all great. Don't forget Mitch and Robin.
Oh, yeah.
They created Blue Bloods.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
I mean, Mitchell Burgess and Robin Green. I always liked Terry's writing. He wrote Pine Barrens.
Yep.
But they were great. I mean, I can honestly not say that. David Chase, the ones he wrote, I can honestly not say I preferred one person or another. Of course, when you have a bigger episode, you like that.
Yeah.
But that there wasn't favoritism. You know, some guys like to write for some characters. Some writers write better for some characters, you know. But no, I can't say I had a, not at all. I really think every person, I mean this, pretty goddamn brilliant, these writers. Amazing.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18-plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
You know, with all that's going on in the world, I can't possibly think of a better time to tell the Creative Control Daily listeners about Figs. So listen up for a sec here. With all that's going to be going on in the healthcare world and at hospitals and doctor's offices and emergency rooms and urgent cares, you have to remember a nurse walks about 5 miles per shift, and doctors can work up to 80 hours per week, all on top of devoting themselves to our well-being. And Figs is an incredible company that's doing something about it. They design medical apparel that looks good, feels good, and helps medical professionals perform at their best, no matter what their day throws at them. Figs scrubs are packed with tons of features and functionality. They've created their own fabric that's antimicrobial, anti-wrinkle, moisture-wicking, full of stretch, and ridiculously soft. And pockets. Tons of pockets. Some of their styles include over 10 pockets, which is amazingly useful when you have a stethoscope, pens, a pen light, scissors, tape, alcohol pads, sanitizer, snacks, more snacks, etc. You get the idea. And they come in a ton of different colors and styles, from classic V-neck tops to straight leg pants, to more fashion-forward collared shirts and jogger pants. And not only do they look good, they're comfortable. Like, really comfortable. People sleep in these scrubs, people work out in these scrubs. They have yoga waistbands, and they're ridiculously soft. And Figs doesn't just stop at scrubs. They also have lab coats, jackets, tote bags, compression socks, and more. Really, everything modern medical professionals need to take on the long days and nights. Now, I've had friends who have placed orders with Figs at wearfigs.com, of course. Friends whose wives work in hospitals, a pediatrician's office, a dentist's office, and more. And without fail, I've been told from everyone who's used the site to pick up Figs scrubs as a gift for their wives that they now refuse to use any other scrubs. They've gotten Figs, they want Figs, they won't accept anything less than Figs at wearfigs.com. So, is there a doctor in the house, or a vet tech, or a radiologist, or any other awesome human in the medical industry? And even if you don't work in the medical industry, you definitely know someone that does, and you should tell them about or gift them some Figs, especially right now. And listeners of Creative Control Daily can get 15% off for a limited time. So go to wearfigs.com, WEARFIGS.com, and enter the code CREATIVE15 at checkout. That is a new code, CREATIVE15, CREATIVE15 at checkout. Get your 15% off at wearfigs.com. Now, I wanted to, of course, bring up Talking Sopranos, which is, you know, that's why I wanted to have you on the show to talk about it. And you're doing it with Michael Imperioli. You guys are starting from episode one, working your way through, reviewing the episodes, talking about behind-the-scenes stuff, having some guests. But what led you guys to – who came up with the idea? How did this come to be? I mean, it's obviously a real treat for the fans like myself. But how did you guys decide to come, you know, both come aboard and do this?
You know, we've been working on this for about 6 months. We were approached by a couple of different channels, producers, and we really didn't want to do it, to be honest. Michael has a show on NBC. I've been on Blue Blood since 2015. And then I saw that there was some rewatch podcasts from people that have nothing to do with the show.
Right.
At all. And I'm going, well, you know, wouldn't people rather hear from two guys that were there?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that were on the set. Michael Imperioli wrote, produced 5 episodes. He was in the writer's room.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't get any closer than that. He was there from day one. You know, we decided to do it. Then the virus came, and we said we were supposed to do it here together in the studio in New York. And we said, well, who really gives a shit about a TV show, even if it's The Sopranos, in a time like this? The world is falling apart.
Right.
And they had announced it in February. We were doing it. And then we heard from a lot of fans on social media, please do it. I'm rewatching, blah, 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 blah. So, you know, we took a beat. We talked about it. And Michael's in California. I'm here in New York City. 4 episodes have dropped so far. We've got over audio and video, over 500,000 downloads already.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, people seem to really be enjoying it. Edie Falco's an upcoming guest.
Great.
Jamie Lynn Sigler, mm-hmm. AJ, you know, Robert Eiler. We had the casting directors who told us incredible stuff about who was supposed to be who. George Ann Walken and Sheila Jaffe.
Mm-hmm.
We have Henry Bronstein, who directed 4 episodes. So slowly, as we go through the series, we will get most of the cast, most of the writers, if not all. David Chase himself.
Yeah.
Everyone, what we're trying to do is this is two friends having lunch, talking about the show, and we want people involved who made the series what it is. It's not just the actors. It's the writers, the directors, the costume, the makeup people, the location guy. That's who we're talking to. All the people, cast and crew, who made this show great. And we're going to get a little, we're going to hear from all of them. I have a lot of questions, and Michael does. And slowly as we go, that's who we will have on. All aspects, crew members from the show, you know?
Yeah.
What they remember. They're from their side. So, so far, I mean, I think tomorrow I record episode 11.
Mm.
We're moving along. The first season is great.
Yeah.
And slowly, as we go.
Yeah, and it's, of course, Talking Sopranos. You can find it on iTunes and Google Play and Spotify, and you guys put a video version on YouTube as well. It's a rough time in the world. Everyone's going through it, but it's a good time almost for something like this to come out, because now the people that are at home, you know, they have something to listen to, they have something new to watch, and it's going to inevitably lead them back to the show, which always keeps finding a second life as more and more generations come up and are watching the streaming services and HBO Go and Amazon Prime. Oh, let me give Sopranos a shot. So it's kind of funny, like, I'm 38, so I was, you know, in my teens when it first came out and watched it through my 20s, but now you have this whole new group of teenagers that can watch it, you know, and everyone's discovering the show, and through the podcast, people are discovering it as well, I'm sure.
Well, I think that's what's happened, you know.
Yeah.
I think as the years went on, first of all, HBO Go is streaming it for free.
Yeah.
Right now, I think the kids that were younger than you, that are younger than you, that are in their 20s, early 20s, 20, 22, 21, mm-hmm. they're watching the show. Back then, there was only 11 million people had HBO. You know, now with Amazon and streaming services and on demand, probably a lot more people all over the world are watching it. More people now than watched it back then. We did a tour of Australia last May, we were doing 2,500 people a show.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they were literally hanging off the ceiling. And then because of this, we had to cancel a 16-city tour throughout Europe, which was mostly sold out.
Yeah.
So the show has grown, not unlike the Beatles. The Beatles ended in 1970. There's kids in their teens are Beatle fans. It's amazing. And I think that's what's happened with the Sopranos, you know. They couldn't watch it because they were too young, but, you know, now they can, and I think they enjoyed. The show holds up every bit as it did, you know. It's not dated at all when you watch it, you know.
No, it remains timeless. And even though, you know, there's been some technological changes, and you don't see Tony or Bobby with an iPhone or something necessarily like that. Like,
yeah.
It can still fit.
Well, Bobby or Steve still doesn't have an iPhone.
That's right.
I have a flip phone still.
Yeah. I was listening to you on Rogan earlier as preparation. I remember I was going to say, yeah, you still got a flip phone, right?
Oh, yeah. I still got it.
One thing I wanted to, before we wrap up and plug everything here, a question just came to mind. Did you attend that Sopranos Con last year that they were doing?
No.
No, okay.
No. I was busy working. Yeah.
Okay. So, of course, that is Talking Sopranos, as I mentioned, on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, video version on YouTube. You guys are doing weekly releases?
Yeah, every Monday. It's every Monday.
Right.
There's 4 episodes out now. You know, it's on YouTube if you prefer to watch it. We just had Michael Rispoli.
Yep.
The one that just came out Monday. He was a finalist for Tony Soprano. It was down to him, Stevie Van Zandt, and James Gandolfini. And he talks about that. He came this close to being Tony Soprano. So he was a great interview. And we got a lot more people coming up. If you're a Soprano fan, I think you'll enjoy it, you know?
Yeah, as a big fan, and like I said, someone that rewatches and has read scripts and read books about the show and that era in television and everything, it's still a fresh perspective, like you said, because it's two guys that were involved rather than, you know, someone like myself, just a fan doing a rewatch. You know, it's totally different. You learn a whole lot more. Highly recommend it. Is there anything else that you'd like to plug? Anything else you have coming up? Any shows or plug your
show? I got the finale, Blue Bloods.
Yes.
Friday nights, 10 o'clock. Nice. We got the two new episodes. Our season got cut short because of the virus, but that's another great show that I'm proud to be a part of.
Yes.
Tune into Blue Bloods, 10 o'clock, CBS. I play a cop, a detective, and that's another well-written show with a great cast.
And also, Steve is on Twitter. At Steven Shripa, S-C-H-I-R-R-I-P-A. You can follow everything he's up to. And I want to thank you a lot for, thank you very much for taking your time to come on and talk to me about the show and the podcast and all that. I really appreciate it, man.
Thanks, buddy. Good luck. Stay safe, huh?
You too.
Take care.
Hey, I'm Michael Imperioli.
And I'm Steve Shripa.
And we're here to tell you about our new podcast called Talking Sopranos.
You know me as Bobby Bacala, and
you know me as Christopher Moltisanti.
So we've been talking about doing this podcast for quite a long time. I think we have a lot to say and a lot to tell the people out there about what went on with the show.
Yeah, one of the things is I haven't seen The Sopranos since the initial airings.
You know, but that's the thing about the podcast now. So we'll rewatch the thing. You know, when we watch, we'll go in order. We'll start at the beginning.
Episode by episode.
Yeah, we'll rewatch it, which I wasn't in the first season. So I got a lot of questions. You've written 5 episodes,
right?
So you certainly have a much better insight. You were in the writer's room. You produced some of the episodes.
Right.
So we'll watch it. We'll talk about it. We'll talk about the guest stars. Maybe we could get the director of the episode on or the writer. And I think that's going to be great. They'll give us a whole nother look at it and insight to it. You know what I mean? As some of the actors that were in those. And I think that's going to be great.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to rewatching the show again.
And I think it would be fun to like have, for instance, like the locations people on. So, I mean, to have someone who did the locations talking about why this was chosen, what happened to this place, what it was like.
And the fans hopefully could send us questions. We'll answer them. Because you always kind of get stumped. Some people have really good
really
questions.
Really good questions.
You know, besides what was the ending all about.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, the fans should also know that the two of us have remained really close friends and have done a bunch of projects together since The Sopranos.
Also, what I'm interested in is the casting. I want to know what other people were up for what roles. You know, I've heard things over the years, but to me, I can't picture anyone else in the roles than the people who did it. But I'd like to know that. I really want to know those questions of you know. Well, I also think there's more people watching Sopranos now than watched it back then. I mean, the show ended in 2007, right. June of 2007.
Right.
Here we are almost 13 years later, and it's as popular today as it was back then.
No, I think the Soprano fan base is some of the most loyal.
All over the world.
So now we're going to bring this on a podcast, you know, right into your ears.
I think it's going to be great. Hopefully you guys will listen and enjoy, and we'll see you on Spotify or Apple.
Talking Sopranos with Michael Imperioli and Steve Shripa. Stay tuned.
This episode of Creative Control Daily is sponsored by Blue Chew. Guys, remember the days when you were always ready to go? Now you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. Listen up. BlueChew.com. That's blue like the color blue. Blue Chew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. You can take Blue Chew anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever an opportunity arises. If you could benefit from more confidence where it counts, Blue Chew is the fast and easy way to enhance your performance. Blue Chew is prescribed online by licensed physicians, so you don't have to go to the doctor's office, you don't have to wait in line at the pharmacy, and it ships right to your door in a discreet package. They're made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. And best of all, there's no more awkwardness. And right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners.
Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use our promo code CREATIVE. Just pay $5 shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com, promo code CREATIVE, to try it free. And while we're all stuck at home with our spouses, girlfriends, boyfriends, husbands, wives, whoever, and you're getting to spend all that extra alone time together, there's no time like the present to give Blue Chew a try and enhance that performance. One more time, that is BlueChew.com, promo code CREATIVE, to try it free. You have nothing to lose. It's free for a month, whole supply, just $5 shipping. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring Creative Control Daily.